Hi, I'm Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The Scott administration says it has met its initial vaccination goals to allow the state to lift some of its COVID restrictions this weekend. And this is going to be possible because more than half of all Vermonters, 16 and older, have now been fully or partially vaccinated. Michael Pichek is the commissioner of the Department of Financial Regulation. He says Vermont's situation has really improved in the past few months.
This week's report is again filled with plenty of good news. It shows that Vermont continues to emerge from a very long and cold winter that saw record COVID-19 deaths, hospitalizations, and cases. But now our cases are in a steady retreat, and over the last 7 days, Vermont has had the second fewest deaths and hospitalizations on a per capita basis in the country.
Well, what are some of the challenges facing the state in the coming weeks and months? That's one of our questions for our guest today, Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan. Tracy, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you so much. I'm always happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. We learn a lot about the pandemic when you're on the program. And listeners, you can join the conversation at Vermont Edition. You can give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. I know there are a lot of questions out there about the pandemic. Perhaps you have some questions about the new CDC guidelines about not wearing masks outdoors in non-crowded settings if you're fully vaccinated. The health department has some new guidelines for many summer camps. We're going to talk about that today. Let's start off with the Centers for Disease Control issuing some guidelines yesterday regarding the use of masks by fully vaccinated people when they're outdoors. What do folks need to know about that?
Well, I think the guidelines that have come out from the CC are really just kind of common sense guidelines now that we're seeing this kind of movement in our vaccination. And it's very similar to what Vermont's got. Vermont is the governor and the health department are reviewing all the science behind the latest CDC guidelines. But the CDC guidelines really talk about the importance of vaccination. And if you're vaccinated, then the reduced need to wear masks unless you're in a crowded area in public. Somewhat similar to what Vermont is doing, except that we are still encouraging people in public, if you're around other people, if you're going into the store, to wear a mask because we don't still have the herd immunity. So we are going to hopefully put out some updated guidance so that we're a little more in line with where we're seeing CDC go as well, so that there isn't any confusion. But in general, all headed in the same direction. If you're vaccinated, it really does open up some more opportunities. And as more and more Vermonters are doing the great and right thing to get vaccinated, we'll see more of that coming.
So just so I understand this, let's say I'm walking around Montpelier and doing some errands and going from store to store. Would it be okay if I'm fully vaccinated not to wear a mask on the street, but to put a mask on when I go into a store?
If there aren't other people on the street, or if there's only one or two other people on the street and you're able to maintain distance, you wouldn't have to wear a mask. But if it's a busy shopping day and you're walking by people regularly, we would still be in a position where we'd ask you to wear a mask.
And how about it for people who are not vaccinated yet, or may perhaps they're partially vaccinated? What kind of rules and guidelines are in place for them in terms of wearing masks?
The older mask rules apply for people who are not vaccinated. So if you're not vaccinated, the expectation is when you're outside of your household and you're around other people, you should be wearing a mask. Or if you're mingling with other unvaccinated people, you should be wearing a mask. The difference is if you are vaccinated, you can, of course, get together with other vaccinated people without wearing a mask. Or inside your home, if you have visitors who are not vaccinated, another household, you can be with them without wearing a mask. The key really is the public and the crowded. And in that way, we're relatively consistent with the CDC. The CDC says if you're out in public and you're in a crowded place, please mask. And we're saying the same thing, regardless of vaccination. If you're out in public, wear a mask. But if you're unvaccinated, you want to be a little more careful, again, because we haven't reached herd immunity. And while our case numbers are going down, it's still out there. We still have some people hospitalized. And we know this variant has a more severe illness. And so we're in that middle ground.
And we've been hearing from folks who are totally vaccinated who have said they've had the opportunity now to, let's say, get together with some friends who are totally vaccinated and they haven't had to wear masks. And what a joy that was.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's the great thing about turning the corner in this pandemic and people eagerly moving forward to get vaccinated. I think we're doing really well, and our polling numbers in terms of people who want to get vaccinated really show that the vast majority of Vermonters want to and plan to get vaccinated. And as a state, as you can see, our numbers are very good in vaccination, and we are continuing to open up opportunities for people to get the vaccine wherever they can.
Do we have any guidelines yet for folks who are totally vaccinated who want to return to the workplace?
Right now, I think it's workplace by workplace. I would have to check to see what the executive order is. Some places have been going back to work. And again, we're asking for distancing. So I believe that the executive order is undergoing a pretty big update based on what we're seeing this week. And so there should be more updates, but there have been people trickling back to the workforce. We're continuing to encourage spacing in the workforce because it's hard to know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't. And the workforce has a variety of age groups. And we certainly know that between 16 and 29 have not yet, been vaccinated as much as a lot of the other age groups. So there are people going back into the workplace. Again, it's around distancing and masking if you are in a public place, including in a workplace if it's crowded.
Do we have any laws regarding the ability of an employer to mandate that all their employees be vaccinated?
I believe in the healthcare setting, those mandates exist. I think there are some exceptions when a vaccine is under emergency use, although I believe some lawyers in a variety of places are looking at that. So I don't have a firm answer for you on that. Employers can mandate certain conditions, and it would be up to their own legal counsel to look into whether or not they can exercise that. But I don't have a lot more information on that.
And if I understand it correctly, the same law or legal philosophy applies to colleges that want to mandate that if students want to come back in the fall, that they need to be vaccinated. If the vaccinations are still under emergency use, that creates a different situation. I don't want to get too deep into the legal weeds here, but it is an interesting situation.
It is. And I know emergency use plays a role here, but I'm not completely clear on whether or not that would prohibit mandates. I believe some colleges have already announced mandates, so it appears it would not. And I know that colleges, of course, are considering this in order to keep their students safe. And again, the majority of students do want to vaccinate. And we certainly know that there are programs, for example, nursing, that require vaccination for some vaccines for students coming back. So it's not a new idea. I think the new part would be mandating it for the whole student population. Which might be a relevant and good idea if you're a college CEO and you want to make sure that your college is a healthy and safe place for students.
Today on the program, our guest is Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan. Our phone number is 1-800-639-2211. Perhaps you have a question about COVID, the vaccines, wearing masks. Great opportunity to talk to Deputy Commissioner Dolan about these issues. Once again, our phone number is 1-800-639-2211. Let's talk to Sandy in Brattleboro. Hey, Sandy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
What's on
can
your
you
mind
hear me?
Today? We sure
yes.
can.
I have a daughter who lives out of state and is has had the J&J vaccine in early March. And she has a case of MS, which is in remission due to medication she's taken for many years now. She's wondering if it's possible for someone like her to get an additional dosage of J&J. And in the state she lives, the demand is decreasing for vaccines. So one is, could she get a second dose of J&J? Would that help? And if she can't and it wouldn't help, what can she do to increase her protection?
Sure, I'm happy to answer that. So I can't speak to any other states, but certainly in Vermont, and according to the CDC, they don't recommend two doses of J&J. They recommend the protocols that are provided for all of the vaccines, according to the manufacturers. And so J&J is a one-dose vaccine. It sounds like you're asking, is there anything she can do to increase her immunity? Again, J&J is relatively effective, particularly in terms of the outcomes around hospitalization or severe illness. And I guess the only other things I would consider are the things that you would consider for anyone who's concerned about their immune response in general, which would be just being aware of, you know, hand washing. And if you're in a crowded place, she could certainly wear a mask. That would provide her a little more protection. But in general, we're not recommending more doses than are currently provided in the protocol. So I guess because we're not fully at herd immunity, if she wanted to, because she had unique concerns about her health, she could consider some social distancing, avoiding crowded places, or masking if she's in the company of people where she's not sure if they're vaccinated.
So just to be clear for Sandy and other folks who may be using the J&J vaccine, it's really designed for one dose only, and having a second one is not going to help improve the situation.
Well, I can't speak to whether or not it would help to improve. I can say that the protocols do not require a second dose. I'm not a medical provider, and I don't know how to speak to additional immune protection, but we don't recommend a second dose. And I don't know that any medical provider would give a second dose unless there was some reason to do so.
Great. Let's go and talk to Jack, who is calling from Paulett. Hey, Jack, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Great.
I have a question about the length of vaccine immunity. I was listening a couple of weeks back, and a caller said that she saw that the length of the immunity, I forget for which vaccine, but it was only 90 days. And Commissioner Dolan, you said that as time went on, we'd see that number start to go up. But I don't know. I was confused by that, and I was wondering if you could clarify and also just give the length of the immunity. And I guess there's a second part to my question, if you can answer that.
Sure. I'll have to go back in and check. I believe the immunity is now up to 6 months, but let me check on that, and I'll come back to that in the program. And what I meant by was when I said we'll have to wait and see, this is literally the manufacturers and the scientists working on the vaccines, looking at the studies and the people who are involved in those trials. And so the longer we go, the longer they're able to see what that immune effect is. We anticipate it will be longer. We anticipate it would likely be up to 9 months or 12 months or even longer, but we can't know that because it's relatively new. So we can't know that until we actually wait that period of time for the people who are involved in the trials. So that's what I mean. They're able to only give you what they can give you because those are the numbers and data in their hands. And I'll have to go back and check, and I may or may not be able to get that answer to you today. I believe it went up to 6 months. But I can check that. But it's really about what we're seeing. We don't anticipate that that the 90 days was because there was any challenge or concerns about the immune response. It was simply the data that was provided at the time. And so as we move forward and continue to follow the people who were originally part of all of the trials and studies, that's the data that they use to determine how long the immune response is good for. They go back and they measure the immune response in those people as time goes on.
Jack, did you have a quick follow-up?
Well, I guess not really. It was only if the immunity was for sure 90 days. I guess I was just going to ask, is there any plan for a second round of vaccine now? But if the immunity is, like you're saying, 9 to 12 months, we probably aren't in the stages of planning that yet.
Tracy,
We are hearing that there could be a booster. We've certainly been hearing that from Pfizer. If we heard that from Pfizer, we may hear it from others. And at the health department, we are planning as best we can in the event of a booster, but we simply don't know the timing on that. And we would give people a lot of notice on that.
Let's talk to Ray in Montgomery. Hey, Ray, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I got a question for Commissioner Dolan. I'm wondering if Vermont is considering setting up a secure vaccine passport. This would be an application on your cell phone that would be tied into the VAM system, and then you could show at a movie theater, at a concert, at a restaurant that you've been vaccinated. I'm lucky. I've been fully vaccinated now, but I would feel a lot more comfortable going into restaurants or movie theaters if I knew that the people around me were also vaccinated. Right now, the EU is going to open up flights to Americans over the summer, but they'll have to be fully vaccinated, and they'll have to prove it before they can board the flights. So a flight to, you know, Paris would be cheaper, would be safer under those circumstances where everyone around you has been vaccinated versus a one-hour flight to Boston where, you know, you don't know who's been vaccinated. Just something to consider, because it would also make a lot more people comfortable about going back into businesses and going to movie theaters. So I'll take the answer off the line. Thanks.
Tracy, are there any plans for that?
Well, we certainly know that the governor has talked about the importance of hanging on to your vaccine card when you're vaccinated. And we are hearing from different parts of the country and internationally that some people may be requiring proof that you've been vaccinated to enter countries. And I don't know that we're in a place yet where we know how we will use this type of vaccine passport. I would be surprised if it got used at a local level in that way to determine who might want to go in and out of a business or a locality. I would be less surprised if it became something relevant for travel, particularly international travel. But the VAM system that he referred to is the vaccine administration system, and that's where we enter the data. And so I think what he's suggesting is, what if there was a digital way to do that so that you felt more comfortable and that you know that the places you're going are protected? And it is one idea. I do want to really emphasize that in Vermont, we have really good vaccine uptake. It's not 100%, but we're doing really well. And the more Vermonters that get vaccinated, the less we'll probably have a need to be thinking about these kinds of mandates or restrictive measures, and we'll be able to relax more as more people get vaccinated. It doesn't mean COVID will go away. We'll still have cases. We'll still have some small outbreaks. But the thing to do right now is for you and everyone around you to get vaccinated. And it will get us to a place where hopefully we will feel more comfortable going into a movie theater, even if we don't know everyone's status. If we know that 80% of Vermont's been vaccinated, that will give us more reassurance, because we know herd immunity can be very effective. I do have an update on the 3-month to 6-month question.
Oh, great.
Yeah, both Pfizer and BioNTech did announce just a couple of weeks ago that they are now, their best estimate now is a six-month protection. And again, that will change as time goes on. But these are the results from the ongoing phase 3 trials of their vaccines.
And when we were talking about just recently the idea of having a passport, I did notice that different sporting arenas around the country are creating sections for people who can prove that they've been totally vaccinated. So if you do go to a sporting event, you know you're going to be in a section where everybody has been totally vaccinated. That seems to be catching on in a number of places.
That's interesting. So they have to show their vaccine card before they go in?
That's right. And so then they will have a special section in the arena that will be reserved only for people who can prove they've been totally vaccinated.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, yes. Hey, let's turn to Jeff, who is calling from Shelburne. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Doing fine.
So my concern that I wanted to express, and perhaps you could comment on it, is, are we moving too quickly to remove mandates in light of several issues? The variants that appear to be more virulent, the 20 to 25% of the population that could be adamant about not being infected, and therefore we wouldn't reach herd immunity, And in 9 months, if we're turning around and administering another booster dose, we're still looking at a portion of the population, 20 to 25%, that is vaccine resistant. And where is our herd immunity in light of the percentage of protection we get from vaccinations, the unknown about whether vaccinated people can pass on infections to unvaccinated folks or those that are at risk? I'd like to hear your comments regarding that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Those are really good questions. Well, first, I just want to speak to the trend that we're seeing right now. Our latest case count was 48 cases yesterday. We do have 246 deaths. We have 17 hospitalizations. Our positivity rate is down to 1%. We are trending in the right direction. I don't want to pass over the deaths and hospitalizations. Every death is a tragedy, and the hospitalizations are no small thing. They mean that people are seriously ill. But we are trending down in cases. Our positivity rate is down. It doesn't mean it's time to not be concerned. You still should be wearing masks, as we've talked about, particularly if you're unvaccinated, and in all cases, if you're out in public in crowded places. But some of the other mandates that we're going to start lifting really do allow people to get back to normal life. And what it might mean is that when we have a surge later in the year, you know, we may encourage some of the things that we encouraged before. But I think you mentioned a few other key factors there, and I'm losing them a little bit. There may be a booster, you're right, in several months. It might be in a year. We don't know that information yet. Here's what I wanted to just correct, though. Nationally, while it may look like 25% of people might not want to get the vaccine, in Vermont, that's not what it's looking like. I think in our last survey, we only found that about 15% thought they might not get the vaccine. And so we are seeing really good uptake. Vermonters, I think, have been listening, have been doing their own research as well, and have really seen the effect of what our measures have done. They've also seen the difficult and sad effects of COVID-19. We're a small enough state that you probably know somebody who was either infected or even possibly died from COVID-19. So I think that in a small state, one advantage is, you know, you really do feel the effects of something like this, and we do have really good uptake. So what I can say is we may still have 15% of people eventually who aren't vaccinated or even a little higher. I think we'll still get to a place where we have herd immunity, and that herd immunity will help us. We do know that you are less likely, much less likely, to become hospitalized or severely ill. Almost not at all. And we do know that even if you get COVID-19, if you're vaccinated, you're much less likely to pass it on. So A, you're less likely to get it, and B, you are less likely to pass it on. So initially, we didn't know a lot about that, although we thought you wouldn't likely pass it on. Now we have more science that says it's unlikely you'd pass it on. So a lot of positive things with vaccination, not just preventing you from becoming ill, but in many and most cases, preventing you from getting COVID-19 at all, and therefore preventing you from passing it on.
Jeff, thanks for your phone call. Let's talk to Sue, who's calling from Tunbridge. Hi, Sue. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
What's on your mind today?
I would like to know how the health department interacts with nursing home facilities as far as updating the CDC guidelines?
Sure, that's a great question. So the health department works closely with another department in state government called the Department of Aging and Independent Living. We call that DALE for short. So we meet with DALE every week. They're the ones who regulate all of the nursing homes. However, we meet with them and we share the guidance and discuss it from CDC. Then we look at Vermont's numbers. We look at what's happening in our long-term care facilities. And together we make decisions about the best guidance for nursing homes. Sometimes we're not exactly in lockstep with CDC. For example, if we're going through a period of a lot of outbreaks, which we were several months ago, we may become more strict because we're trying to protect lives, even though that's difficult. Or if we're in a period where we see a nursing home has very high vaccination rates, including the staff, then we may work with DALE to shift some of the guidance there. So we work with DALE, who then works with the nursing homes, and we keep them updated on a regular basis. So nobody should be behind the guidance there.
Coming up in just a little bit, we want to talk about the Northeast Kingdom. Commissioner Dolan. And yesterday, Dr. Levine talked about his concerns that there's some areas just outside of Vermont where the rates right now, the infection rates seem to be fairly high. And that would be along the Quebec border and also in Coos County and the western counties of Maine. What's your advice for folks in the Northeast Kingdom? Should they be worried about traveling to these? I know the border is closed with Quebec, but should they be concerned about traveling over to northern New Hampshire at all?
Yes, they should be concerned about traveling. If you know of an area where there's high COVID, particularly if you're not fully vaccinated, you might want to think twice about traveling there, or you might want to adjust your travel plans so that if you travel there, you're going to do a more isolated type of visit or vacation. But I think, like we've recommended all along, crowded areas are not advised, particularly if they have higher rates or outbreaks going on. And so really think about adjusting your travel. There's a lot of things you can do that are within your own personal agency, within all of these guidelines. These guidelines are meant to keep you safe, but you can also use your own judgment, particularly if you see, you know, outbreaks, or if you see a lot of people in an area, even if you are officially allowed to go into that particular restaurant or pub or area, you may want to think twice, look at the data, and make decisions about whether you want to mask, go at a different time, or maybe enjoy your vacation slightly differently. Go with one other family that's vaccinated, you know, to a place near the beach. A lot of options, but of course, I think you should take the data on case rates into account when you're moving about.
And we got this email from Tim, who wonders about the Canadian border. He says, one wonders how this situation hasn't spread to Vermont because truckers and nurses, et cetera, are still going back and forth across the border. Is that a concern?
You know, not a high concern. Most healthcare workers are fully vaccinated, so they are quite protected. Again, I'm not as familiar with the trucking industry. If you're a Vermonter and you are, you know, over 16 years old, you are either vaccinated or you're registered or you have an opportunity to be vaccinated. I think if we had a lot of movement, but really the great movement comes when we have the border open and a lot of tourism. And right now, because that border is closed, that's really protecting us there as well.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Chris in Wallingford. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here. I'm curious for some specific guidance for gathering in houses of worship, specifically how many people can be accommodated and whether singing is something that is discouraged or allowed at this time.
Those are great questions, and I'm afraid I don't have the detailed answers right now. I would have to go to the ACCD website to check the latest guidance on houses of worship. I can tell you that generally, if you are going into a crowded place, including a house of worship, you're going to want to maintain spacing and wear a mask. I can also tell you that generally, until we reach herd immunity, singing is a higher risk activity. But I don't know more specifics. I would ask you to go to the Department of Health website and look up guidance there, or to the ACCD website.
Let's talk to Tony, who's calling from Woodstock. Hey, Tony, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is for the commissioner about the bed and breakfast and lodging in general. Are there any changes to the guidance on cleaning and, you know, preparing rooms for guests? Right now, there's a lot of additional work to make sure that the rooms are sanitized for the guests, like, you know, things that normally we wouldn't have to do. Have they relaxed any of those requirements or guidance for bed and breakfast?
Again, I would probably have to ask that you go to the Vermont Agency of Commerce and Community Development, ACCD, website for any changes there coming in. One moment, please. The other, there has been some change, I believe, from CDC, so that's another place to take a look. But again, I would probably have to do a little research and get back to you. I don't have that right at my fingertips.
Tracy, have we learned in the last few weeks or few months that this virus is not really very transmissible through surface areas?
I don't know that we've learned that just in the past few weeks. I think early on, we recognized that while you can contract the virus through surface areas, the most significant pathway for this virus has been through the air, through respiratory droplets. And so while we encourage cleaning, you know, here in state government, we also encourage cleaning. We have relaxed that somewhat from the beginning to, you know, once per day. But it's not a unique cleaning protocol. You can use the same kind of cleaning agents you would use for anything else. So unfortunately, I don't know what the guidance was before on cleaning, but I can tell you now that using usual products and doing regular cleaning should be sufficient. But again, I don't have all the details on what the guidance was before.
Tracy, in response to one of our previous callers, you were talking about the number of Vermonters who are vaccine hesitant at this point, and it seems like it's about 15% or so. If that is what the number turns out to be, do you feel confident that we can still achieve herd immunity?
Yes, I do feel confident we can achieve herd immunity. Again, herd immunity isn't an exact number. So, you know, I think we early on, depending on the virus, we talked about numbers as low as 65 to 70%. At one point, it was 80. So I think we speak now 70 to 80%. It's not an exact percent, but the higher we go, the more likely and the stronger that herd effect is.
Tracy, I wanted to check in. It seemed like in the last few weeks, the number of people in Vermont's BIPOC community getting vaccinated has been growing. Is the percentage now pretty close to the statewide average as well?
It's getting there. We have about a 7% difference between BIPOC and the full state. And that number is closing. We've got a lot of people coming forward and getting vaccinated, a lot of community partners really working and encouraging, you know, those partnerships and encouraging that vaccination. We do have that 7% difference. Now, among younger people, and I'm going to use a broad number for younger, 16 to 64, there's actually very little difference. I think there's a 1% difference. It's among the 65 and older that we have a little bit more of a gap. And again, primarily in Chittenden County, because that's where most of our Black, Indigenous, and other people of color live. So we're certainly getting there, and that's a great thing.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Natalie. No, we lost Natalie. We thought we had Natalie from St. Johnsbury going on the air, but she had a question about animals being able to transmit this virus. Do you have any thoughts about that?
No, it hasn't been a focus. And I saw early on there was a little bit of research about animals possibly being able to transmit the virus, but our focus has been on human transition, and so I don't have much more information on the animal transmission. But I do have an update on houses of worship, and I'm sorry for that poor segue. I didn't mean to jump from pets to when you go to church, but yes. So the guidance for houses of worship is really just our universal guidance, and universal guidance is stay home when you're sick, wear a mask if you're out in public in a crowded place, ensure 6-foot spaces, practice good hygiene. And, you know, that's our universal guidance around that. So a house of worship, any kind of church or worship area would fall under universal guidance.
Thank you very much for getting that information for us. I know a lot of people were interested in getting that. Let's turn to Sue, who's calling from Westford. Hi, Sue. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. I came into the program a little late, and I'm certainly hoping that I'm not asking a question that's already been asked. But it's regarding our homeless population here in Vermont. I believe during the pandemic, many of them have been relocated to our hotels. I'm wondering if there is any transition plan for them post-pandemic. I'm also wondering how a consumer who wants to travel can find out what hotels they have been housed in during the pandemic. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. I'm going to address your second question first, but I wonder if you could clarify it. I think I missed some of it. You mentioned a consumer. I don't know if you meant a member of the public who wants to travel. Could you repeat that? Or Bob, did you catch the second question?
Sue, could you clarify that for us?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. People who want to travel and how they might get information regarding the hotels where the homeless have been.
Oh, I see. So for somebody who wants to travel to Vermont, how would they know if they were staying at a hotel where also homeless people had been? I don't know that there's any way to get that information. I'm not sure that the hotels post their population. Of course, a Vermonter is a Vermonter is a Vermonter. And our positivity rate really applies across the board. It's 1%. However, we do know that the homeless, were they to somebody who's housing insecure, if they were to get COVID-19, might be more susceptible because of other chronic conditions. And we are really working hard to vaccinate that population. And they've been great partners in that. And so, you know, we've got good vaccination rates across the board. We're really doing a lot of outreach now to vaccinate. We're certainly hoping to help people transition to better housing. I'm probably not the expert to speak to you about our broader housing plan, but we really appreciate the partnership between ourselves and all the hotels and motels in Vermont who have been great about all of our vaccine and our COVID-19 regulations, and who have also been helpful for those more vulnerable people in our community.
Tracy, we've gotten a lot of people who are very interested in the status of summer camps this year. What should folks know about summer camps and the availability of those camps this summer?
Great. We do now have the overnight summer camp operations guidance and the day camp summer operations guidance. You can actually find those on the Department of Health website if you go look there. And in a nutshell, once we hit June 4th and we get to our third phase, you will see a real relaxation in terms of masking and some of the other types of requirements. But for now, for an overnight camp, you need to travel to camp as directly as possible if it's an overnight camp. And you should bring a copy of a test result taken within 3 days prior to arrival. So before you arrive at camp, you should bring in your test results. There would be limited off-campus activity if you were at a camp, so we would really continue to do that. Our mask wearing would follow the Vermont Forward requirements. So if you go and check out the Vermont Forward requirements right now, it would show that you would be masking if you were in a public space, which a camp would be. However, it's likely in July, once we are more vaccinated, that you would see that change. And so those are some of the pieces on the overnight camp. And in terms of the day camps, it's really following the Vermont Forward guidance. So if you look now and you go on site, go online, and you're a parent and you're looking for camps, you should assume that they are all following the regular guidance. So for now, there will be some mask requirement. It's likely in July that would drop. There would probably be still some distancing encouraged of 3 feet where possible. But we're starting to get back to what would look a little more like regular camp. I believe that the camps are not going to have capacity as low as it was last year. So I think you're going to be able to see more kids in camps. And again, all of this, assuming that we continue to go in the right direction, which we think we do. I know it's hard to imagine. I mean, I had trouble imagining it even a few weeks ago when we had big case numbers coming in. But that vaccination rate makes all the difference. When we start crossing over that 50% rate, which we've done, you just see things start to drop, and it means things are getting healthier and so if and back to normal. So if we can encourage people to vaccinate, that gets us closer. But check out the camp guidance. You can go to the Vermont Department of Health website. You'll find the guidance there, and it will give you a little more information. But all of your camp administrators will have the guidance, and they'll be able to let you know as well.
A lot of people are going to be very happy to know that there may be summer camp this summer, both parents and campers alike. Let's talk to Kathy in North Hero. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing great.
Oh, okay. I have a family member who has had COVID. Does she have immunity for a certain amount of time, and should she still be getting a vaccine?
Yes, and everyone should get a vaccine, whether or not you've had COVID. While it does give you some immunity, the vaccine is a nice controlled way to make sure that you get the best immunity that we can provide. And so whether or not you've had COVID, you should then, you know, check in, call the vaccine call center, and they'll guide you in terms of the timing. Normally, you have to wait several weeks after you've been ill with COVID if you had symptoms. Either way, there is a waiting period after you've had a COVID positive test. But then the vaccine call center, if you call them, they can guide you and help you get an appointment.
Let's talk to Nicole, calling from Post Mills. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. First, I just wanted to say thank you so much to the vaccine call center staff. They've been fantastic whenever I've dealt with them, and I imagine they don't get thanked enough. The other thing, my question is that I've had two cancellations occur after appointments I've made on the website, and I wondered if that was a glitch in the system. The emails that I got said, if this was in error, click here. So I have the impression that it's not an isolated incident. One was for vaccination and one was for testing. And the follow-up to that was that I'm right on the outer edge of the concern group for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but I decided to go ahead and try it anyway and take on the risk because I thought it was worth it. I wondered if one of those cancellations was because I would be considered in the risk group for Johnson & Johnson.
Well, I can tell you that we would not be canceling you if you were, let's say, I'm guessing maybe a female between the ages of 18 and 49. We are not taking that into account. We are seeing three vaccines that are safe. We recognize that each person might want to make their own decision, but we have not restricted these vaccines in any way for any population, with the exception of 16 and 17-year-olds only able to get Pfizer. So if you got a cancellation notice, it's possible that the clinic was canceled. Again, I think if you have questions, call the vaccine call center and see if they can help you out. Normally, if you got a cancellation, I would have said now if it was earlier when we paused Johnson & Johnson, that cancellation may have been because there was a pause. But if since then you signed up for an appointment and you got canceled and you're not sure why and you're not sure what the next step is, call the center. They'll be able to look you up, see what your situation is, and get you into an appointment, because we certainly have a lot of availability right now.
Thanks for the phone call. Let's talk to Carolyn in Shelburne. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks very much. I have a question. If you received your vaccines in another state and you're a Vermont resident, how do you get your vaccine records inputted into the Vermont State Health System? Do you just bring the vaccine cards to your doctor and they will get them inputted, or do you contact Vermont State Health? And I'm concerned for two reasons. One, because I got mine in another state, and if I get a booster here, I want my records all in one state. And also, for purposes of international travel, I know you said there's no plans yet for any kind of vaccine passport, but it seems to me the state of Vermont needs to have a plan to provide some kind of acceptable proof of vaccination if it's required for international travel. And my guess is that those vaccine cards will probably not be enough, as they're easily counterfeited. They're available on eBay and fake cards. So I'm assuming later on Vermont will provide some kind of international travel passport, and then people will need to have their records in the system. And there's probably college kids and others who got their vaccines elsewhere, but then they want to have their records here. How do we do that?
Sure. So our immunization registry system, our IMR, it's called, does have plenty of records from out of state for people. So it sounds like you got your vaccine out of state and you're wondering, can you go to your doctor and show the records, and does your doctor input it to the IMR? That is one way to do it. And so on your next doctor visit, if you were able to say, here's my vaccine records, can you add it to my record? They're able to do that there. I also think you can call our IMR. And I will need to probably get back to Bob with the information on that, and maybe he can post that a little bit later. But for now, if you have vaccines from out of state and you want to make sure they're in your health record, which then goes into the immunization registry, you can always go to your doctor and work with your doctor, and they will get them into your personal health record and into the immunization registry.
And Carolyn, if you want to leave your information with our call screener, we'll see if we can get the information from Deputy Health Commissioner Dolan and get that back to you as soon as possible. Let's see if we can get a few more quick calls in the program and start with Sorrel, who is calling from East Burke. Hi, Sorrel. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Hey, thanks. I'm just calling because my husband and I got immunized a few weeks ago with the J&J vaccine. And it was when there was a surplus session, so it was all very last minute. And somehow they got my husband's name wrong on the record. We tried to change it there and then, but they weren't able to. So I'm just wondering how we might go about doing that.
That's a great question. I think that is another, you could call the vaccine call center and see what they might be able to help you with. They might be able to do a change there, or they might connect you with the immunization registry. So I would call the vaccine call center, and they should be able to give you guidance on what steps you take to make a name correction. It sounds like there was a misspelled name. And so the vaccine call center should be able to give you next steps.
Tracy, we're almost out of time, but I did notice that yesterday there was a drive-through clinic up at the Barton Fairgrounds. Do you know how successful it was?
Yes, it was very successful. I think we vaccinated 360 people up there. It was a drive-through clinic, but also you could bring a friend because we knew it was late notice, and so we wanted to get plenty of people out there, and that was a Johnson & Johnson as well. And so we had drive-through, but we also had bring a friend, and we were able to register a few people on the spot as well. So very successful. We've got people all over Vermont getting vaccinated. Really want to encourage that younger group, 16 to 29, to get vaccinated. It's so important. We're ready. We've got the vaccines for you, and we'd like to see that that population continue as well.
Do you think we'll see the state using that drive-through clinic process more often in the future?
It went pretty well. Again, that was our first shot, and so I think we would need to debrief about it and see if that makes sense to continue to do. We may do it in a place that's a little more populated. Sometimes when we choose remote areas or more rural areas, it takes a little more effort to get people there. So we kind of take a lot of things into account, but everybody was very excited to work on the drive-through. We had a lot of creative ideas that our bosses didn't let us do, including which choice of movies, turning it into a drive-in movie theater. Nobody liked that idea. We thought it was a great idea, but we thought people would want to stay too long then and watch the whole movie. But I think we've got a lot of creative ideas now as we get the low-hanging fruit, people who are ready to go. We know there's some people who might be waiting, just haven't figured out how to get it into their schedule yet, maybe a little nervous about getting a needle. There are all kinds of reasons people might be waiting, so we're going to keep working and encourage people to come out.
Well, we keep learning more and more about the COVID-19 virus. Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan, many thanks for being on the program today.
Okay, thank you so much. Take care.